pretty new to this whole space thing. I got involved and excited about it. I found myself producing some sessions at a theoretical physics conference in Canada, as you do. And one of the sessions we did involved somebody who works on Mars science, a guy called Dr. Chris McKay, who works over at NASA Ames in California. And he was a really interesting guy. We had a really interesting night. And so I decided that on the way back to the Institute, get them all a glass of wine, I would make a beeline and chat to him. And I was very excited. I was like, oh, you work at NASA. That's totally awesome. Like, can I come and visit? And he said, yeah, I'm sure we can find a way to get you there. I was like, that's pretty cool, actually. Can I really come and visit? He's like, yeah, absolutely. And I was like leaping around a little bit, forgetting that I was supposed to be a serious journalist. Anyway, he says to me, oh, I've got something for you, Kate. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a tiny little NASA pin badge with a little meatball logo. And I am super excited. I'm like leaping around like a small child. And bless him, he waits a good few minutes for me to calm down before he finally says to me, I always carry a few of those in my pocket. Oh. wait for it. Just in case I meet any small children. Serious journalist? Yes, really. Or maybe not. Anyway, luckily he didn't think too badly of me, and in fact, a few months later, invited me out on a NASA expedition to the desert, and I got to spend some time at a wonderfully named research base called ZYZX. Yes, that's ZYZX. Play that in Scrabble, you've won. So that's how I got excited about space. A bit later on in that year, I was watching on Twitter, and somebody said, if you look out of the window in 7 minutes' time, you can see the International Space Station fly over London. I thought, really? That's kind of cool. So I went over. I think Stevie Wonder was playing at Glastonbury on the television at the same time, and I looked out of the window. I couldn't really see anything. I didn't know what I was looking for. And then suddenly, there was this bright light shining across the sky, and it was just incredible. I was like, there are people on that. You know, wow. So I stayed up for the next hour and a half until it flew over again, and I audio-booed how excited I was about it. And then that was it. That changed my life. I decided there are people up there. I want to be one of them. So last year, I turned 30. All of my friends, they're growing up. They're being sensible. They've got proper jobs. They're getting married, buying houses, having children. When they turn 30, they know what they're doing. And I didn't. I turned 30, and I decided I want to be an astronaut. They all grew up. I basically regressed into being a seven-year-old boy. But never mind. No laughing. This is a non-comedy bit. Serious stuff. So I want to be an astronaut. Okay, so let's be practical about this. How can you get to space? Well, the obvious one, and we're celebrating the 30th birthday, is the shuttle on my t-shirt. Again, for a 12-year-old boy, actually. Not doing myself any favours, am I? Well, as you may know, there are only two shuttle flights left. So I think they're pretty much booked, and that's a no-go for me. Then there's the Soyuz. Well, kind of funnily enough, now that the Americans and the Russians are talking, the Americans are now having to borrow the space on the Soyuz to get their astronauts into space. And slightly ironically, the Russians have caught on to this idea of capitalism and supply and demand. So they've just put the prices up on the Soyuz to $63 million per seat. I mean, I'm actually the American price. Maybe I can haggle them down, but I still think it's probably out of my price range. There's a couple of guys a couple of Danish guys, I think. I've read about them in the Metro. They're building their own rocket. Not sure I trust that. Then what else have we got? We've got SpaceX. They're doing really exciting things, so I'm going to nag them a lot. Orbital, they did manage to kind of lose a $400 million satellite just a few weeks ago, so let's not go there. So what am I left with? Well, Virgin Galactic. Of course, well, you've got the transfers on your seat, so maybe that's the way to go. And it's only $200,000 for a ticket. You only get to go to space for 6 minutes, but you've been in space, right? So that's what I want to do. But I don't have $200,000, so what do I do? Well, here's where it gets interesting. It turns out that if you have enough Virgin Atlantic air miles, you can go on Virgin Galactic. This is impossible. For three reasons. Number one, they all have to be Virgin Atlantic air miles. Not the wine club, not the gym, not the credit card, not that I have any of those. Nobody is allowed to donate air miles to your total. Bugger. Okay. The third thing is you need 25 million work that out roughly as being the equivalent of travelling from London to New York and back again in economy class every single day for 11 years. It's probably not going to happen. Right, my friend, this sounds really a bit... He did tell you I've met astronauts. So my friend Paolo Nespoli, he's in space right now. I got him on Twitter, and now he's in their little promotional video. It's very exciting. Anyway, on his previous journey into space, he was up there for 15 days. He travelled around the world at 17,500 miles an hour for 15 days. When he came back, he'd only clocked up 6 million miles. 25 million miles? Branson, seriously, get a grip. That's completely... It's wrong. So what am I going to do? Well, I need to somehow meet Richard Branson. I need to somehow persuade him that, like him, I'm entrepreneurial. Like him, I like an adventure. And like him, I like a challenge. And maybe I can persuade him that I'll have an interesting enough story that I'll get a book deal and a film deal. He can star in the film as himself, the hero. That's going to swing it. And then get him to change the rules, just for me. Maybe just for 3 months, 6 months, whatever. And see if I can get enough people to donate enough air miles that I can get the 25 million, go to space, and do my best to take you all with me. It sounds completely crazy. I do get that. But if you had told me a year ago that I would be drunk dialed by astronauts, that I would be bear hugged by the head honcho of NASA, and I would be carrying a piece of the space shuttle in my pocket, it's been in space, people. It really has. I'm not supposed to have it. But anyway, don't worry. The shuttle had come back safely before I got the piece. Anyway, I would have told you that you were crazy. So maybe there is a way. And if you'd like to help me, I would be very pleased. And if you want to know what the hell I've been doing, I went for 10 days to see a shuttle launch in Florida. I came back 4.5 months later. Because it kind of had a few problems. Not because of my bolt. I didn't steal the bolt from the... No. You can see what I'm up to at spacekate.com, spacekate on Twitter, or audioboo.fm/spacekate, where I also have a very short interview with Charlie Duke, the 10th person to be on the moon, talking about how exciting it was to be there. And he does sound genuinely excited about it, so yay to him. Thank you very much.